Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am excited to be here tonight. The very first time that I'm doing a radio show after surgery, thanks to all of you that prayed for me and that fasted for me. I am doing wonderful. And so, again, I want to say thank you. Tonight, here we are to discuss a topic that is very, very overwhelming in the body of Christ today. We find that we're in a church or in a thing called Christendom that no one has respect for, or no one has respect for the church or the hierarchy of God. And so we will talk about this tonight. One of my guests, Apostle Brian Pleasant, is already here with me. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Apostle House?
I am well. I am well. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to be with us tonight. We'll go ahead and dive right into this discussion, being that we are, you know, leaders in the body of Christ. We come from, you know, different backgrounds and all of that stuff. But my thing tonight is, where has the respect gone for the body, in the body? You know, why is it that we are lacking respect for the hierarchy, and why is it the hierarchy calling people out or causing the body to get back in line with the word of God? Apostle, what do you have to say about this situation that's going on right now in the body?
Well, the first thing that I think is that the church has lost its respect due to the lack of leadership, the lack of what it looks like to be a true leader in the house of God. We see this through the identification of with the secular world, with the things that are going on, and the church is starting to look more and more like the world than the world conforming to what the church should look like. And so when you have more programs, if I can say it that way, than presence, the lack of understanding creeps in, the lack of who God is creeps in. And
Right.
You lose faith, you lose hope, and then in a sense the church becomes irrelevant to the world, because the idea is this: is why do I need to come to you and tell you my business when you're doing the same thing that I'm doing? And I think therein lies the problem that the church is suffering from, is that we are in the identity crisis stage. We don't know who we are anymore. And so for that cause, God is raising up true apostolic leadership who will not conform, who will not sit in the pews of okay, if I can say it that way, and satisfied. But he's raising up men and women of God that are hungry for restoring the order of God. Not just sitting in the pulpit, not just sitting there doing nothing and preaching and having church as usual. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of church as usual. I need to see the manifestation of God's glory in our lives. And so I believe that once God has starts moving these apostolic leaders into position, you'll see the church be restored in faith. That's my charge as an apostolic leader, is to restore the faith back into the church. And so this particular subject right here is hitting home for me.
Right. And we definitely have to have that faith restored back into the church. I'm so happy that my brother, my friend, my pal, as we call him at Alabasterbot, Hurricane Calhoun, has joined us tonight as well. And we want to get him in on this as well, as I believe that he is one of those, as you said, people, or one of those apostolic fathers that's being raised up in this season. Apostle Calhoun, what can you say to us about this situation? As the apostle has already said, you know, there are many reasons why the church is where it is, but the main reason is the identity crisis. What can you say about this time that we're in and why respect has been lost for the house of God?
Well, once let me say, God bless you, Apostle House, and Apostle Pleasant. I'm excited about being on this call, and I thank God for some voices speaking out on this particular subject. And one thing that I've noticed is the reason why the respect has lost for the house of God is, for one, we have lost respect for ourselves as leaders.
Sure.
We have lost respect for ourselves as leaders. We have allowed ourselves to become victims to the gimmick, and we have lost our savoring in the glory. And if we don't have respect for the house of God, then we cannot expect the sheep to have respect for God, for the house of God. Then if the sheep don't have respect for the house of God, then we can't expect the world to have respect for the house of God. And so that's why the world is where it is now. That's why we're seeing, you know, things rise as far as same-sex marriage. We're seeing stuff like this rise because the people of God have allowed ourselves to lose respect for the house of God, and so therefore it has sent the world in disarray. And so when we allow ourselves to move away from the things of God, and we have allowed ourselves to have Ichabod wrote upon our houses, wrote upon our foreheads, wrote upon our homes and our churches, and we're missing out on the glory of God because we're not respecting not only ourselves, but we're not respecting the house of God and the things of God and keeping the things of God sacred.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes, this is so true. And I find while we're here at this particular juncture, I find that when we talk about respect being lost, we have to first start with the pulpit. So, Apostle Brian, how can we first start with the loss of respect in the pulpit? Because we know what happens in the pulpit ultimately trickles down.
Yes,
so,
sir.
What has happened in the pulpit?
I'm glad you asked. What has happened is what you see right now, Apostle, is a lot of orphan spirits in the pulpit. You see a lot of people who look like sons, but are not really sons. What you have to understand is that in order to be a son, you have to have a father. You have to have somebody who was impactful in your life, who corrected you when you needed correction, and you somebody who you can look at and was an example of how to do it the right way. But what you see in our pulpits today are a whole lot of orphans, those who who stepped out of on their own without the compliance of their spiritual fathers, but instead of doing things in a godly way, they stepped out and said, you know what, I'm going to do it because I don't like it. I don't like what's going on over here. I don't like what's going on over here. I can do it better my way. And so what that leads to is an orphan spirit. And so when you have an orphan spirit in the pulpit, you end up with an orphan church. Does
wow.
that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that church becomes susceptible to whatever the world has to offer because the leadership has no idea what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said something that caught me, and that was a son, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This
right.
is something that Apostle Calhoun and I have talked about several times, a son. And
yes.
and a lot of us, and I want to put this in here because Apostle Brian was saying a son who basically had respect for the father or the shepherd that he
yes.
grew up under, that raised him, that chastised him, that was not always in his corner, that tore him up when he needed to be tore up, and he was not a bastard child because he
That's
stayed
right.
there and he took correction, okay?
Right.
So my question is, can we really blame it on the fathers of the gospel? Because I find that there are some true fathers of the gospel, but I'm finding that there are many bastards in the church.
Sure.
You can't blame it on the father when the son does not want to be chastised.
No,
or you cannot blame it on the father when the son wants to kick against the ordinance that has been set in place for the church. So is it really the father that's messed up, or is it the son who has become a bastard, and now he's raising other bastard leaders?
No,
and they're calling themselves sons.
Come on now, that's good. That's good, Apostle. Let me inject this right here with what you're saying. Real quick, don't mean to interrupt, but that's a very good question because sometimes it's very hard to discern between which one is which.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
because sometimes it is sons who don't want to respect or receive the chastisement or the love or the teaching. And then sometimes it's the spiritual father because if the spiritual father did not have a spiritual father, then the
sure.
spiritual father at the time would not know how to correct and chastise the son. And sometimes it's how the spiritual father comes at the son when he speaks certain things to the son. And the
mm-hmm.
Bible says that provoke not your children to anger. And
that's
so
right.
sometimes it is our fault because we fail to realize how to treat individual sons, because it's just like in my own house, I can't treat my children all the same. I must chastise them different because they receive me different.
Sure.
And then sometimes, then on the other side, on the flip-flop side of that, is with the children, with the sons, some sons don't want to receive chastisement because they have came from other ministries, they have came from other places where they was able to do what they wanted to do, say what they wanted to say, go where they wanted to go, do what they wanted to do. And when they get up under leadership that puts a lockdown on that, they say, you know what, I'm a grown man or I'm a grown woman. I put my pants on the same way you do, so why do I have to listen to you? And so then, therefore, when they are wrong, then they're birthed out, and then they go birth other children who think the same way they think. And so now we have what we call the butterfly effect in the church, in the house of God, and then there's no leadership. So now it's hard to discern between who's a good father and who's a good son.
The good father, apostle, knows when his children are ready, if
right.
I can say it like that. I think the Holy Spirit was dropping in my spirit. It would be the equivalent of the prodigal son going out from his father, as he did, and birthing his own ministry. Right. You see where his ministry ended up at, if we can say it that way. It ended up in with the pigs and slopping a mess around. And so a good father will receive his son. But this is the difference. This is what I wanted to get to you at. The difference between the son and the orphan is, you answered it your own self. You said they will not cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
A son will recognize the fathership sooner or later, and he'll return back to the father if he's a true son. But an orphan will stay in a lost place, and he'll hurt more people like himself. And so I think you answered it yourself. But in this day and time, if I can say this, God is raising up fathers. That's what you and Apostle House are, your father, your spiritual fathers, with an apostolic mandate to change lives and raise up sons and daughters for the kingdom's sake.
Amen.
If I can say this, Apostle House, and I don't want to take too much of the time, we have to move from being one-dimensional as the church. Getting back to your subject, we've got to come out of the mind state that church is the only dimension that we can operate in, when there's six more dimensions that we have to be effective in. I'm sure you guys know about the seven mandate of the seven mountains. Mm-hmm. Seven mountain mandate, the seven areas of influence, religion, family, education, government, arts and entertainment, media and business. We have to learn to be effective in those areas, and not just in the dimension of religion. We do church really well. There's no doubt about it. We do church excellent. But what we're lacking in is the other areas. And so what happens is that the family suffers. The education aspect suffers. Government suffers. Arts and entertainment suffers, media suffers, and business suffers, and we're stuck in the one dimension of doing church, while the devil is operating in every other dimension.
There you go, Apostle Blessing. That's it right there. There we go.
And so we have to move from just the realm. We have to train up leaders. We have to train up people who will be effective in those other areas.
Right.
What we do as pastors and apostles, what we do is we get stuck on people bringing tithes in. But what if the church, watch this, what if the church owned businesses? What if the church was effective in the government? What if the church was effective in the education department, in the arts and entertainment, in the media sector? We've been called to affect the world, bring change to the world. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And what we've grown to be is a church that's preparing people for heaven, but not preparing them how to live on earth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is
so true. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I vented for a second.
This is so true. Apostle Calhoun, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
No. I was disagreeing with Apostle Pleasant. He was saying some things that really was hitting home in my spirit.
And this is so true, because we have to be well-rounded leaders, and we have to operate in all of these other areas as well. But the thing that I really, really want to drive home tonight, and I'm so glad that Apostle Pleasant brought it up and said what he said, is that we have to learn how to be sons. We have to learn how to abide in our places. We have to learn how to bring the respect back for the house of God and for God himself. Because I find that there's no respect for God, period, you know? And so, Apostle Calhoun, how do we start to repair these areas where the area where, you know, I came from a brokenness, a broke place. My last leader really did, you know, kind of run me over and beat me up and beat me down. And now I'm at your church and I'm wounded good. How do you deal with me or prepare me for what God has shown you concerning me?
Prayer, praise, and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that just something simple, nothing deep, but when you have somebody comes in who is like that, who's broken and they're confused and they're not have been taught the way they need to be taught, first thing you need to do for this person is pray for them. Second thing is have compassion for them. And the third thing is when they do things right, give them praise.
Sure.
To restore their confidence and let them know that I'm here for you and I'm not against you.
Right.
Because sometimes we as sons, sometimes when we come from a broken place and when sons come from broken places, they don't understand. It's just like being in a bad relationship. You know, a woman could have been in an abusive relationship for so long to where it becomes natural to her that if the man don't hit her, then he don't love her.
Right.
And when she comes into a relationship, when the man shows compassion and he's sensitive, she really doesn't know how to accept it. She becomes nasty and bitter towards the man that is showing compassion to her because of the simple fact of what the culture that she came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we as leaders have to become understanding sometimes. And me and my wife are just so interesting. And me and my wife was just talking about this earlier, that, you know, even though they're coming from a broken place, sometimes we will look at the simple fact that, hey, you are a leader. You are a man or woman of God coming from another place or coming from another teacher. So we expect a certain thing out of you, but not understanding
right.
that you're broken on the inside.
Wow.
And so what we do instead of being sensitive, discerning the situation, operating in our apostolic and prophetic place to recognize certain things, we instead of helping the situation, we damage the situation. So I would say this, those three words, go back to those three words, prayer, compassion, and praise. Pray for that person. Have compassion. That's the biggest thing. The second thing is having compassion. Because sometimes we as apostles, we lose compassion.
Sure.
Because for one, apostles and pastors are two different people.
Mm-hmm.
While we were pastors, we had so much compassion. But then when we became apostles, we lost tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were so in our own mindsets to say, hey, I'm on a mandate. I don't have time to wait on people. I ain't got time to retrain you. Listen, you got to learn it as you go. Come on, let's go. And we forgot about compassion. And I've seen that through the church, in apostles, in prophets, in bishops, because we get to a place to where we lose compassion for the people because, like Apostle Pleasant said, we'll focus on the tithe. We'll focus on how many people are coming. We'll focus on trying to keep this going or keep that going versus, you know what, if one sheep leaves out of 100, I'm not going to keep teaching the 99. I'm going to leave that 99 and go get that one.
Right.
Because that one that left might be the one that might be God used to change this whole world.
Sure.
And so prayer, praise, and compassion. And that's what I feel that needs to come back into the house of God is prayer. First of all, praise and compassion for the people.
Amen. Amen. Apostle, go ahead.
Well,
Apostle President, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Apostle Calhoun is just hitting on the head, and one thing about me, I stopped looking for healthy people coming through the church doors. I don't look for that anymore. I stopped that a while back, and now I look for what area do you need help in.
Right.
What I understand is that everybody's broken. It's like you said earlier, Apostle Calhoun. Everybody's broken in some area. And so
right.
my job is to figure out just where you're broke at, and then meet you where you're broke at. See, a lot of times what I've understand over the years of ministry is that a lot of times people have what is called a crisis moment in their lives.
Okay.
And that crisis moment causes them to become stuck in a stuck situation, in a stuck place, and they revert to drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is to numb them from what took place at that crisis moment. And so my job is to see where you're broken at, what caused your crisis moment, and meet you there, and let's start the healing process from there on. I love it because Jesus met people where they were at. They were in broken states. They were in broken places and dead places. And Jesus went across the sea just for one man who was in the tombs to make sure that he was okay. He met him where he was at. And so I think we have to remember to meet people where they're at and not get so caught up in our titles, not get so caught up in things and in busyness of, you know, being an apostle, busyness of being a pastor, whatever it is that we're doing. And it's like Apostle Calhoun said, we have to remain compassionate because if not, people will see through you and they can identify a farce when they see it. They can identify somebody who is fake when they can see it. And so what we have to do, because we have the ministry of reconciliation, we have to remain in a place where our hearts are exposed, in a vulnerable state, and it's not easy to do. But in order for people to trust you, you have to be trustable. You have to remain. You have to be able to be transparent, even when it's not beneficial for us. And so I think that in the process of people healing, you have to be able to tear down walls. Because what I realize is a lot of people guard themselves behind protective walls. And so if you're going to get inside of those walls, you have to be able to tear those walls down through trust. You got to have a big trust hammer to do demolition with. And then when you get behind it, you've got to show them love. Yeah. You got to love people from where they're at to where they need to be in Christ Jesus.
This is true. This is so true. I'm enjoying this tonight. Something you said, and I want to go back to, is the crisis moment, because I think that we have a lot of people in the church that are stuck in that crisis moment. They're not moving past that moment, the moment of crisis, the moment that it happened, the hurt happened, the trouble happened, whatever it was that happened. And a lot of leaders, and I was just telling someone the other day, that God is concerned about our mind, body, soul, and spirit, not just our soul.
That's right.
And a lot of leaders are not leaders that are concerned for the mind, body, soul, and spirit. They're only concerned for the soul. And so I want to, Apostle Calhoun, I'm going to give you first dibs at it, but that crisis moment, because what I'm starting to realize in ministry is that, first of all, it's not good for you to put me in leadership position when I am in a crisis.
Sure. Right.
Pastors have to learn how to identify what just walked in the door.
Sure.
And a lot of people are not identifying what has walked in the door. They are allowing people to walk in the door, and they immediately put them to work. But that is not safe, because now you have other people who are now going to be exposed to a crisis that really had nothing to do with them. So, Apostle Calhoun, how do I deal with that sheep or that individual that is in that crisis moment without allowing that blood or allowing others to be affected, or allowing this crisis to be an infection in the house.
It goes back to what I said earlier, compassion and just honesty. Have to be honest. Listen, you are in a state now because it had, let me tell you, I'm going to give you my own story. It had to happen to me. When I met my spiritual father a few years back, I came to him in a broken state. Now, at the time, I was already a pastor, and I had already been pastoring for a couple of years. Started out young. I was 22 when I first started pastoring, so after a couple of years, I ran into him, and I was in a broken state. I was in that state of chaos, or if you will, crisis, if you will, and I came in, and he made me sit down. He just told me straight up. Now, it did make me mad. It did make me upset. But for some reason, I heard the Father in his voice.
Sure. Right.
And it brought me to a place to where you said, even though I'm upset now, watch this, I'm upset throughout the whole process because of what I'm being having to go through, is being sit down, you know, being a minister of music, can't play my music, can't preach, can't do this, can't do that. Had me in a place to where he said, listen, matter of fact, the man made me live in the church. God had been having him build a room in the church and said that the young man was coming and that he needed some teaching. He needed a real father. He needed some correction, not knowing who I was at the time, but had already prepared for my coming. So I already built a room in the church, so I had to live in the church. So after church, I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't eat with everybody. When they went out to eat after church, I had to stay at the church. He brought me back something to eat from wherever they was at. You know, I couldn't hang around with everybody. He took my cell phone. I couldn't talk to nobody. Why? Because I was in a crisis situation, and he knew and he saw that if he exposed me to everybody where I was, it would be like a pheromone being released among the people.
Right.
And so what he did was he put me in a position to where it was nobody but me and God.
Mm-hmm.
He put me in a position where it was nobody but me and God, and put me in a place to where I had no choice but to pray and seek the face of God for my deliverance.
Mm.
And see, that's one thing that I noticed that we really don't do anymore. We don't put people in the position to seek the face of the Lord to receive their deliverance, because if they're coming in with chaos and if we allow them to be exposed, I said the word pheromones, and a lot of people don't know what a pheromone is. Pheromone is just something simply in the animal kingdom, what they release when it's time for mating season.
Right.
So whatever the issue of the person is just like a pheromone. And so when it's released, it attracts that what it's going through, and it attracts the same sex. So you will never see a deer release a pheromone and attract a grizzly bear.
That's right. Right.
It will only attract that what is attracting. So out of crisis bursts chaos. Out of no order bursts chaos. So when that person comes in, you have to quarantine this person, if you will.
Wow.
Quarantine this person, watch this, with prayer, praise, and compassion, and show them, listen, I know that you maybe have, I know that, you know, you're broken. I know that you are a leader, because what we do, and I hear a lot of preachers do this, and older preachers at that, more seasoned preachers and well-known preachers, we see them on TV. Sometimes they'll tell us, well, sometimes you need to put that person in position, and whatever position they're in, it'll deliver them. Like if a singer is a singer, let them sing because they're finding deliverance in singing. I'm like, well, no, because if they're coming from a broken place, they're going to sing out of emotionalism and out of flesh and not sing out of the anointing of God. And so when they sing out of their own emotions, out of their own feelings, they release the spirit over into the atmosphere, and it releases the people on innocent, and it releases chaos and crisis on innocent blood.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And so we have to quarantine this person. We have to quarantine. We have to let this person know that, hey, I understand that where you are, but right now you're broken.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to put you in a position to where you can be restored. Now they may not like it, but they are appreciated in the end. I was telling the young man, I'm not trying to take up much time, I'm a pass the mic on, but I was telling another young man earlier today, I told him, I said, well, listen, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was just being honest with him. I said, listen, I've been compassionate towards you. I'm showing you what I need to show you, but it seems like you really don't want it, and you know where you are, just like I know where you are, and you tell me with lip service this is where you are. Sometimes you got to be careful of the ones that tell you where they are in their own minds, and, you know, you got to be careful of those. And so that's a whole other subject for a whole other matter. But I told him, I said, listen, I'm giving you what, but you got to show me that you really want this.
Right.
Because sometimes when you show compassion to these people, sometimes they don't want to receive it and they don't want to recognize it. So sometimes you have to really, sometimes you just have to really be honest with certain people.
Sure. You do.
Sometimes you have to just really just be honest with them and just sit them down and say, listen, you're not really where you are, where you think you are. And I'm not telling this to disrespect you in any type of way. But I'm telling you this because me as a father, I can see. And so if you will allow me to impart into your life and to show you, like Paul says, a more excellent way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I promise that ministry and life and business for you will be successful.
Right.
And so that takes me back to what I said earlier. What should we do about these people that come in as broken? Prayer, praise, and compassion. Just simple
sure.
as that.
That's right. That's right. That's right. We are going to take a quick break and get us some music here. Apostle Calhoun, thank you for being here. Please stay where you are. Apostle Brian Pleasant, thank you so much for being here. Stay right where you are. We'll be back in just a few moments. For all of our listeners tonight, thank you for being here. We love you. We appreciate you. It is an awesome outpouring of love tonight to be back for the first time since surgery, and it's like, bam, everybody is here. So thank you so much for being here and your support and just loving us the way that you do. We'll be back in just a moment.
Jesus will.
gentlemen, thank you so much for staying with us and for being here with us tonight. Again, we are really talking about the respect that has been lost in the house of God, and we've sent off in some serious conversation, some good conversation, with Apostle Brian Pleasant as well as Hurricane Apostle Calhoun. We love you both dearly. And so while we were in our break, you know, as I pray and seek God and while doing this show, and God, where do you want me to go after this break? The Lord began to talk to me about giving the people the characteristics of a father. We heard in the first half of the show from Apostle Brian that one of the things that God is setting in place in this season, in this time, is apostolic fathers. He's not raising up, and I've been saying this for a while now, he's raising up fathers, not pastors, but fathers in the gospel, somebody who is going to father you and give you the proper teaching and training in the gospel. So, Apostle Calhoun, I want you to give us some of the characteristics, and then we're going to go to Apostle Brian. We're going to let you guys tag team this this thing. What are some of the characteristics of a true apostolic father who, look, I want the best for you. I love you. You know, what's the characteristics? How do I recognize that?
One way to recognize a true apostolic father is that they're always in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They're always in prayer. They're always seeking the face of God for answers. They're not going off their own whim. They're not going off of how they feel. They're not even going off their own experience sometimes, because sometimes our own experience will not help the individual who we're trying to reach. And so they're always in prayer. They're always taking time out with you. I feel like a true father should always take time out for their spiritual sons and daughters just to spend time with them, talk to them. Hey, how are you doing? Not always being super deep, not always throwing scriptures out at them, not always throwing revelation out at them, but sometimes just, hey, let's go to lunch. Where are you right now? What's going on in your world? What's in your mind? What's in your mind? Because there's some things that if we can, because sometimes it's not always, you know, we tag into the spiritual part of the person, but sometimes we need to tag into the natural part of the person and to find out,
right,
okay, what's in their world, what's going on in their mind. So one of the, I feel like, the true attributes of an apostolic father in this hour is someone who would take time out with their sons and with their daughters, because we can't forget about also the daughters as well. And so take time out for them and show them, hey, you know, I'm not all that, you know, person, because like I heard Apostle Pleasant say earlier, being transparent.
Yes.
You know, don't always be one sided. You know,
yes.
You know, sometimes you have to show people, like, listen, you know, I got issues just like you got issues. I face stuff just like you face, you know, and I feel like as an apostolic father in this hour that we need to be able to tap into those areas, because in order to be who we are to be, then in order for everybody else to be up under us who they need to be, then we need to tap in. Sometimes us as fathers, we need to go back and remember where we came from.
Right.
Remember where we came from, what we faced, what we dealt with. And so sometimes that will help us recognize where the people are and where the sons and daughters are, to be able to help and guide and navigate them through their life's journey. So like I said before,
right,
one of the attributes I believe of a spiritual father, of an apostolic father, is one that takes time with their children.
That's right. That's right. Apostle Brian, what do you have for me? We're trying to recognize who, you know, who is a spiritual father. I hear a lot of people saying, God has called me the father of his people. You know, he is, that's what I'm called to do, but I'm not seeing the fruit. So how do I recognize the spiritual fathers in the kingdom? Apostle Brian, are you there?
Oh, apologies. Are you there?
I'm there. Come on.
Okay. One thing about a spiritual father is that he will remain teachable. He'll remain in a place where he is able to learn. Mm-hmm. I think something happens when we get to a place in ministry where we think we've attained everything and nobody can tell us anything anymore. And we're at the top of our game and nobody has anything to offer to us. I despise that wholeheartedly. One thing that I've learned is this, is that there's always somebody that has something for you that you can learn from.
Right. That's right.
There's people that are doing greater in ministry than you'll ever do, than we'll ever do. And mm-hmm. I don't stand in a position where I think I got my ministry all together. I don't stand in a position where I think that I'm the top dog and I know everything. I purposely look for those who are doing this thing better than me, and then I go and seek them out and ask them, what is it that you did? Now, it does not necessarily mean that I will adopt everything that they've done, but I've learned from them something about what they've done. And so you ask me what an apostolic father looks like. An apostolic father looks like a person who is humble and hungry. Humble enough to say, I don't have it all the answers, but I'm hungry enough to find them. I think that's one thing that you have to instill in those that you are teaching, to be hungry enough to search out what it is that you're looking for.
Right. Right. And that's what I was just getting ready to say, is that if the father is hungry and humble, then you will find that there are hungry and humble sons and daughters that are walking with. I want to talk about this tonight because Apostle Calhoun and I talked about it earlier in the week, and we are, going to do a number two. It has to be a show number two because we can't get all of it in tonight. But I want to hit on this because I'm finding that apostolic fathers or those that are saying that that's where they are not really where they are. Because I am an apostolic father, and I love you. I have the characteristics just like Apostle Calhoun has said. I love you. I am here for you. I spend time with you. I am willing to teach you, as well as I am learning from other places and willing to share that information as well. Okay? But the very same apostolic father who loves you, who will teach you, and who will encourage you is the same father that will also chastise you.
That's right.
Right. And I think that is something that is missing in the body of Christ today. We have gotten to a place that we are so infatuated with being called a father in the kingdom that we forget our responsibilities in the kingdom. We forget the responsibility to chastise and to reprove and to rebuke with all long-suffering as the Word of God tells us. So, Apostle Calhoun, I'm going to get with you first because I know you got to leave me shortly. What is your take on this? Because I feel like this is causing the house of God to melt down because we have people that are associated with us that are sons that are walking outside of the will of God, and we are not putting them in position, and other people are now leaving the church because there is no order.
My apologies.
What is your response to that, Apostle?
My response to that is we have gotten away from that, and I say we, and I've been saying we all night because I was raised in a house where one child get in trouble, we all get in trouble.
That's right.
And I say we, not necessarily, you know, saying that this is something that we're doing, but we as a body of Christ, we as leaders, because we are responsible, we are our brother's keeper. I say we because we have lost our place because we're afraid to chastise because we're afraid to lose membership.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We have gotten to that place to where we won't preach certain things or we won't say certain things because we want to appease the people.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We want to be, instead of being, we are in a generation now, and I'm speaking in the natural world, in the natural sense, we are in a generation now where the parents are not being parents, but they're being friends.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
And that's what one mistake is, that we are friends with our sheep.
That's right.
And another place is why it's becoming chaotic like it is because we as spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers and parents, we spend a lot of time walking with the sheep versus leading the sheep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then another thing is that we have gotten to the place to where we have gotten so much of an entourage around us that we don't even have time for our sheep.
Talk about that.
So we don't have time to chastise. So therefore, we leave the children to their own devices. You know, we leave them to their own. You know, and that's not a good place to be left to your own devices. Of have to self teach yourself. And so we have to get back to the place, because I come from the old school. I'm not that old, but I'm not that young. But I come from a place to where, you know, and then another thing is I come from a place to where, you know, wasn't no secret rebukes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my grandfather was a bishop in the Church of God in Christ. So I would get chastised, and I was the minister, music, chief musician. I was one of his elders and young and this, that, and other. And then as I got on, I was one of the ones that got rebuked in front of the church in the middle of his message,
right,
because it was something, right, that I did that was incorrect. And so instead of me tucking my tail in and running, I knew that he was right, because I knew that of a place I was in, because I knew that he was speaking not from a personal standpoint, but from a fatherly standpoint, saying that we would not tolerate this and you cannot do this if you want to be successful at ministry.
Right.
I come from a place to where, you know, when we were wrong, the mothers would take us and throw us on the altar and say, stay there till you receive the Holy Ghost power.
That's right.
That's the era I come from. I come from carrying, and we lost that. And I'm not saying that we have to go back to carrying, but we have to I heard Prophet Nathan Simmons say that if you didn't get it like I got it, then you ain't really saved.
That's right.
So you know, some folks might need some tarrying, but on another note, go back to the place to where we're like I said earlier, compassionate, but at the same time, got to be firm and got to be honest, because there's a lot of secret rebukes going on, and then it even bursts chaos. Where there's no order, there's chaos.
Sure. Yeah.
Look at Moses when he left to go on top of the mountaintop. When Moses left, order left with him. But we can look at that two different ways now, because Moses was the order. When Moses left, the order left with him. Now, that's not always a good thing.
No.
Because that means that puts us in a position to where when we're in the mountaintops as the leaders, when we're in prayer and when we're away from our ministries or away from the church, they need somebody else that there needs to be standing in the place. We need to raise up somebody that can keep the order and will not bend to the will of the people.
Sure. This is right.
Sure. So, therefore, we have to be firm. We have to be sustained in who we are, regardless if a person says, well, you know, because you got incidents where, you know, you'll chastise somebody, well, because you said something to me, this ain't the place for me to be, so I'm going to go somewhere else.
Right.
Sure.
Or,
or, you know, I'm not provoking you to anger, but I'm just letting you know this. We don't do this here at such and such ministry. We don't do this here at this place. So I can speak for my own ministry. We don't do this here at Spirit of Excellence Worship Center. So either two things need to happen. Either you need to get with the program, or you need to find you another ministry to go to.
That's right.
Because we can't, even though we have compassion, we cannot just allow anything to enter into the house.
That's right. Come on.
That's right.
We cannot allow just know anybody. I know that you're broken, but this might not be the place for you. And if I'm a real spiritual father, then I'm going to correct you at the door and say, no, God. And then we have to correct those that say to us, God told me that you're my spiritual father. No.
That's right.
And see, instead of saying no, we'll say yes, and we're bringing these people in. And so next thing you know, we have invited them in as infiltrators. They have come in and gotten into our comfortable zone and so gotten us to a weak point. So watch this. We don't chastise them because they know too much about us.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And that's another reason why a lot of chastisement has stopped in the church now, is because the sheep know the inside of your house.
Right.
All right. All right.
So to keep your business not being spread, you just don't rebuke them because they might tell your deepest secrets.
Right.
And that's where we make the mistake of becoming friends with the people versus spiritual parents to the people. I'm sorry for taking so much time, but that's a very touchy issue for me as a spiritual father. And knowing where I grew up in ministry, that if I wouldn't have had the chastising that I had, because, like, I'll tell you this, I'll give you this one a good example. Because I've been raised in a place to where I had true spiritual parents and true spiritual fathers, that when I'm around other spiritual leaders who are generals in the gospel, are generals in the spirit realm, I don't mind or I know how to submit to ranking.
Sure. Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't try to put myself on the same level as those other men and women of God.
That's right.
I know how to put myself in a position to where I sit at their feet because I have something, as Father Pleasant said earlier, I'm still learning because I'm hungry to know how did you get to the place the way you got. And because I understand the voice of a spiritual father, just because you're not my father doesn't mean that you're not somebody's father.
That's right.
And so when you chastise me, even though you're not my father, I don't sit here and say, well, who you think you are? You're not my father. No, you have a voice of a father. And as a voice of a father, I understand as a father myself, having children naturally and spiritually, I know how to submit to the authority.
Right.
And so that's another place to where we are also as spiritual leaders and fathers. We can't just correct our own, but we got to correct other stuff that we see wrong too.
That's right.
And even as fathers, even as fathers, as us three on the phone, if we are around each other and you see me doing something wrong, you as a voice of a father need to come and say, "My brother, that was." Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes,
sometimes you need to become a fatherly voice to even your best friend.
This is true.
My God.
That's right.
And so the house is where it is because we refuse to be fathers, and we choose to be friends, and we choose to compromise our positions, as militant men and women of God in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Apostle Brian, I want you, he hit on the chastisement part, but Apostle Brian, I want you to tell me what should be my response to your fathering or chastisement. I'm a son, I'm sitting under your tutelage, you are responsible for my soul. And
sure.
I have stepped out of line, and you know, now you have to now become that, you know, father that chastises his son. What should be my response to that chastisement?
I remember one time as Apostle Calhoun was saying, being chastised by my spiritual father, and I'm a grown man, you know.
Right.
I came into the church when I was 36 years old. I returned to church, I should say, under my spiritual father. And he corrected me in such a way that it was public, and my little feelings was hurt, but
yeah.
I had a decision to make at that time. Mm-hmm. I went home, I pouted as a grown man. Let me put it on out there. I got mad and I said, well, I ain't going back there. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that.
Amen.
And so at that time, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, are you going to allow this to stop you for what I have for you? Or are you going to suck it up and go back and do what I called you to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so the decision has to be made within oneself to say to yourself, am I going to allow, because I didn't have it my way, to frustrate what God is trying to do in my life? Is that going to stop me because I receive correction and I can't handle correction? Again, this gets back to the sonship. See, an orphan will immediately bail out and run, but a son will recognize his fault and return and receive what the father has for him.
Okay.
So the correct response to it is to bite the bullet, suck it up, do what you got to do to prove yourself. And I think this is what Apostle Calhoun was saying earlier, is that we cannot allow those who have not proven themselves as spiritual fathers, those who have not proven themselves to us, to allow them to be over ministries. There's something I go by. It's called TWT, Time Will Tell. And
mm-hmm.
In that timing, you will notice or you'll see the fruit of those that you're working with. My spiritual father, when I told him, I said I had a calling on my life, he watched me for a whole year to see if I was going to do what I said I had a call to do before I got the title to do it. And so we have to watch people as fathers.
Yeah.
We've got to try them. If the Bible says try the spirits, why shouldn't we try those that are under us?
That's right.
And so
That's right.
We have to teach them, train them, and watch them hopefully transform. I think the thing that the church today lacks is conviction and correction.
Mm.
And without those two in the church, It leads to a lack of characteristics, and it becomes a place of compromise. And so without conviction and correction, we see where the church is at today. It's falling apart.
Yeah.
We're pretty much left to ourselves. And God says, it says it like this, if you don't want me, then I'll find somebody who does.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And so I think that, it's like Apostle Calhoun said. He said that back in the days they would put you at the altar until you received Jesus, and then when you die, you receive him. They keep you at the altar some more. So I think we need to get back to an altar. See, what today's church lacks is an altar.
Yes,
and I don't mean a physical altar, but I mean a spiritual altar where we're crucified at.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual altar where we can lay down our lives, and as Paul says, I'm crucified daily. The thing that God showed me at the beginning of last year, I was teaching, and he said, I'm restoring my temple. And he had me in the book of Ezra, first coming out of Nehemiah into Ezra. And the first thing that they restored when they got back to Jerusalem was the altar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before they even built the temple, they had to restore the altar so that sacrifices could be made. And so
that's right.
What the Lord showed me out of that is that today's church has to return to a place where there's an altar established in it. Because when the altar is established, then God can send down his fire. He can send down his glory. He can send down, but without no altar, you won't get no glory.
That's right.
My God.
So spiritual fathers, if I can elaborate one more second, I'm almost finished. As Apostle Calhoun said, spiritual fathers are shepherds, and every good shepherd has to watch over his sheep.
Right.
That means chasing out wolves.
That's right.
You got to chase out wolves. If they come in because they're going to creep in unaware, and you got to chase them things out. I've had to do it.
Right.
To keep your sheep in a place where they're still hearing from you and listening, and coming to the altar, because that's the ultimate goal, is to get everybody to the altar so they can get to Christ.
Wow.
Amen.
In the body of Christ, we really have gotten away from the altar. We've gotten away from prayer and seeking God, and in seeking him, a lot of things in us will change, and we won't be so apt to follow behind every little wind and doctrine that comes along. We will, become humble children, that are able to hear from our spiritual mothers and fathers and not feel like we know what they know, or I've been through what they've been through, or we've got to, humble is the way. And
right.
So I am most grateful tonight for this show and for you guys being able to take time out of your busy schedule to be with us on tonight. Before we go, I want to give Apostle Calhoun opportunity to tell you guys where you can find him, what he's doing in the very near future. I know that there's a prayer conference coming up. It is mandatory for Alabaster Box to be there to support this man and woman of God. Listen, when you call for prayer, two or three people show up. But if you call and say it's a singing going on and we're going to serve some food afterwards, they'll pack out the house. But don't nobody want to come to seek God because they already understand what's getting ready to happen. The glory going to fall and it's going to change you. So Apostle Calhoun, come on, tell us where this prayer conference is going to be held so we can pack it out and so we can get some change going on in the body.
Well, thank you, Apostle House and Apostle Presence, for giving me the time to elaborate with you great theologians in the gospel. I learned a lot here tonight. Prayer Awakening will be the March 6th and the 7th at the Courtyard Marriott here in Pensacola, Florida, and on Creighton Road. Now, we have two of them. We have the Courtyard downtown, but we have the one over on Creighton Road. It's going to be at the one on Creighton Road, 451 Creighton Road in Pensacola, Florida. For details, y'all can email us at soewcintl@gmail.com. That's soewcintl@gmail.com. And we have some other great events coming up. Spirit of Excellence, our ministry, is located at 1024 Sawyer Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32534, where me and my wife, Prophetess Calhoun, the senior pastors, and really I want to iterate on this prayer awakening. This prayer awakening is not going to be like any prayer awakening that we have ever done. We have done prayer revival before, but this one is different. This one is geared to prayer and restoring leaders, amen, because sometimes we as leaders, we pray for everybody else, but nobody has time to pray for us. And so
right.
We're really seeking for the leaders, leaders, they can bring their ministry, they can bring their churches, but we're really going to target the leaders and restore the leaders into a place to, because we believe that God has called this nation, and I said it earlier, nation to prayer, amen, and it has to start with the leaders.
It has to start with the leaders, you know, and Apostle Pleasant was saying it earlier that a lot of the issues, and I'm paraphrasing, a lot of the issues would be fixed if we as apostolic and prophetic people and leaders in the body of Christ would link up with the judicial system, link up with the educational system, link up with the government, link up with all these venues and not only be prophets in the church, but prophets in the marketplace.
That's right.
So this prayer awakening is going to revive, renew, and restore a lot of people and a lot of things and stir up some things in some people to get them to go forth and do what God has called them to be. So I just really thank God. I thank God for my brother, Apostle House. I thank God. Apostle Pleasant, your voice sounds so familiar. It feels like I know you from somewhere. might be just kindred spirits. But I thank God for you and your wisdom that you've been imparting into this on this line tonight. I've learned a lot from you, and I'm always learning stuff from Apostle House. He always had me cracking up, but I also learn stuff from him at the same time. Yeah, that's some stuff. Once again, the email address is soewcintl@gmail.com, and you can reach us at 850-292-2350. If you have any more questions, those of you that want to, I got some other stuff. I'm not trying to take up time, but if you go to our Facebook page, if you go to Apostolic Voice Magazine on Facebook, me and my wife, we have a magazine that's out. We have our own magazine, and so those of you that want to take a look at that, Apostle House has access to that. I know some of you that are on here listening, you're connected to Apostle House. He has all the information as well that you can get with him on that, because he is also, his ministry is also featured in the magazine also as well. So we thank God for the venue of that, of the magazine, reaching out and hearing the authentic voices of Apostolic Voice. And my wife is the visionary of this particular magazine, so we just thank God for that. But that's about it. That's all I have right now. So God bless you and love you.
God bless you. Love you back. Apostle Brian, where can we find you? What do you got going on? How can we get to you?
We are in Fro, Pennsylvania, One Kingdom Ministries. You can reach us on OneKingdomMinistries.org. We have a website, and you can check us out and see what we have going on. One of the things that we plan on doing in the near future is the starting of a charter school, which will offer technology and different things to the youth and to the community. Another thing is we're doing is trying to get a transitional shelter for women and children started in our area, because we understand the need of homelessness, and it seems as though it impacts women and children far more than anyone else. Those are just some of the things that we have going on, and our covering is Dr. Mark Kaufman out of Jubilee Ministries, and who has a television station. We look forward to soon linking up on there, partnering with him in doing so. It's called Kingdom Broadcast Network. Let me first say also thank you for having me on here this evening. And Apostle Calhoun, powerful man of God, both of you are powerful men of God, and I know that you're going to affect the regions that God has called you to with the apostolic mantle that you carry. And so I know that there's some great things going on down there in Pensacola, Florida. We at One Kingdom, we just love partnering with different ministries and those with vision. Again, my wife as well is the visionary, prophetess B.J. Pleasant. She has great vision on things. God gives me vision, and she is the one that pieces them together. And so I could not be where I'm at without her. And so I have to give her kudos. But we have great things going on here in Thoreau, Pennsylvania. And those that are listening, if you're in the area, you're welcome to join us. Our service times are 11 a.m. on Sunday and 6 p.m. on Wednesday nights for empowerment service, and in those things, we believe in empowering you to live a prosperous life through Christ Jesus in this area. So, amen. Thank you for having me, brother.
Amen, and thank you so much for being here. We all know where you can find Apostle House and Elder Houses at alabasterboxcm.org. Again, it is alabasterboxcm.org is where you can find us. If this broadcast has blessed you, you are more than welcome to sow at alabasterboxcm.org. There you will be able to sow and be a blessing so that we can continue to do this. I have to tell you that there will be a part two because there is a lot that I have on my list that we did not get into tonight. So keep your eyes and ears open as I will try to get these busy young men and get them back here again in the very near future because we have to get this information out. Before we leave tonight, as always, we would like to pray. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. We thank you for what you have said and for how you have moved tonight and for the wisdom that have come across this line tonight. God, we thank you for every individual that chose to get here and to hear what the Spirit had to say unto the church. God, here we are saying raise up real men and women so that we can raise up other sons and daughters of Zion that will carry out the kingdom work that you have called us to do. God, we apologize tonight if we have been wrong or if we moved in wrong places or if we've wronged your children. God, teach us as apostolic fathers how to lead your children properly, and we will obey. God, as we do these things, in your son Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. We thank you, apostles, both of you, for being here tonight. We love you much, and hopefully you will join me again very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, you have really, really just shocked me with this outpouring of people that are here listening. I'm looking at all of these numbers, but I don't, you know who was who, but thank you to everybody and to those that are listening by iPad and your computers and all of those different devices, telephones. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We're going to leave you with a little music, and you be blessed, and please keep your eyes and ears open, for we will be right back here next week again to talk about whatever God lays on our heart. Blessings, and have a wonderful night.
Good. Yeah.